This is Doug Miller. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before the shear, he opened not his mouth. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand to preach, to teach, and to give this Word out, knowing that the results are up to God. What He wants to do, He will do. And some of you out there listening to me, you need to listen very closely. Because the Lord loves you. The Lord Jesus died for you, and God the Father sent His Son to bear your sins. And some of you are not saved, and you know very well that you're not saved, and time is running out. So I beg you, I implore you, bring your Bibles. Come along, open up to the 8th chapter of Acts. And we will begin with verse 29 today. And call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out. And, of course, as I say every week, and I say it because it's true, we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners. If it's no more than a postcard and right on, brother. We love to hear from you, to know that you're out there. I don't know who we're reaching. I speak into this microphone, and the Word goes out over the air, and who knows? But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it does pierce, and it does cut, and it does wound, and it is powerful. So write to us. Let us hear from you. Tell us if we can help you in any way, any materials we can provide for you. Absolutely free, no strings attached. The day we start attaching strings to it or begging people for money is the day we'll go off the air, because the Lord won't allow it. The Lord won't put up with that from us. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Or if you want to email us, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. Glad to hear from you via the email route. And our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. You can go on there and read about Dialogue and pull up our messages and just have a ball, all free, no charge, and no obligation, right there in the sanctity and the safety of your own home. All right, let's see what we can see now. Last time we were looking at Philip the Evangelist, the only man who is ever called an evangelist in the Word of God. Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He was one of the seven deacons mentioned in the 6th chapter of Acts. And, of course, when you see a true evangelist at work, and you gauge many who call themselves evangelists by looking at this man, you can see just how far short a lot of these so-called evangelists fall. Philip was a man, as we saw last time, out on the raggedy edge, which is where you'll find all true evangelists. Out there on the streets and in the byways, urging the people to come in. And we saw that the evangelist, I mean, this is a lonely life. If you like crowds around you and you like people around you, and if you can't stand to be out there all by yourself, you'll never be an evangelist. Because I'll tell you right now, I've been at this business a long time. There are a lot of people that'll urge you to go forward and urge you, right on, brother. And then when you get out there, you look around and they're nowhere to be found. Well, Philip wasn't waiting to see what anyone else did. I can't tell you what the Lord has called you to do. I can only tell you what the Lord has called me to do. And we read the last time that the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Arise and go down to Gaza, which is desert. Get out of Jerusalem. Get down there." Now, were there 23 people down there waiting to hear from Philip? No. Were there 300? No. How about 1,000? Nope. There was one guy. One man who needed to hear the truth and was being prepared to hear the truth. And we saw it last time, and this man was an Ethiopian, a man with a black skin, not of the same racial group as Philip. And yet he was a man of great authority, and he was in charge. He was a eunuch, and he was under Candace, or Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he had been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was going home. And the Spirit, in verse 29, says to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither. He ran. I love it. You know, when David took the field against Goliath, this little shepherd lad, and Goliath said, "Am I some kind of dog that you're out here with sticks and rocks to fight me? Well, son, I'll take your head off." And David said, "Well, you come to me with a sword, spear, a shield. I come to you in the name of Yahweh Tzabaoth, whose armies you have defied. And this day I'll take your head off, and I will give you to the beasts of the field, and all the earth will know there's a God in Israel." And having said that, the book says that David, when the giant arose, David ran forward to meet him, ran right at him. Can you imagine the boldness of this man? Well, that's what happens when an individual knows and is convinced that he is being directed by God. Philip didn't look around to see who else was with him. He didn't look around and worry about what was going on. The Spirit said, "Go and join yourself to this man." And Philip ran to him. He ran to him. And when he got close enough, guess what he heard? He heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to find out exactly very quickly here. He was reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. That's what he was reading from. There was no New Testament in that day. This man was reading, no doubt, from the Greek Septuagint, and he was reading from Isaiah, and Philip simply asks him one word: "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand that?" Well, this man was not a stupid man, this Ethiopian. He was a well-educated man, and I know that because in those days and at that time, there weren't that many people who could read, but this man could. And he was reading, and Philip asks him one simple question. "I hear what you're reading. Do you understand it?" Now, look at the response here. He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, think of this one. This Ethiopian eunuch had never seen Philip in his life. And you might say, "Well, you know, I'm driving down the road and I run into a guy and he says, and I've got the Bible here. Do you understand that Bible?" And I say, "No, why don't you come up here and explain it to me?" Would I be likely to do that? Only for one reason. Only one reason. I don't go around looking at strangers. And, you know, particularly with all the craziness that's going on in the world today, some guy I never knew and never laid eyes on, and I say to him, "Would you kindly explain to me what this Bible means?" Wouldn't do that. So why would this Ethiopian eunuch do it? Well, I'll submit to you that he would do it because he, too, was being directed by the Spirit of the Lord, and he probably didn't even know it. Philip was wittingly moving in the Lord's will and by the Lord's direction. This Ethiopian eunuch was not. But friends, He was surely and certainly being directed by the Lord. And he said, come up and sit here and tell me what's going on here. I don't understand it. Now, here is what he was reading. The place of the scripture which he read was this, in verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, that's the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If there is a Jew listening to me out there, I urge you, I implore you, I plead with you, get your, what we would call the Old Testament. You might not even believe in the New Testament. Fine. We'll worry about that later. Get your Bible down, which we would call the Old Testament, and look in the prophet Isaiah and look in chapter 53. And as you read it, you might ask yourself, last time I was in the synagogue, I never heard anyone read this. Why aren't they reading this in the synagogue? I will tell you why they're not reading it in the synagogue. Because they don't like it. Because they don't like what it says. And because for many years now, they have been trying to explain this one away. And you'll hear all kinds of strange explanations. Now, if you're Jewish and you're listening to me, don't call me later or write to me and say, well, I can tell you're anti-Semitic. Friends, you're not going to run into any Gentile out here who loves the Jews more than I do. I love you enough to tell you the truth. This chapter, this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, is one that they don't read in the synagogues because they don't like it. Because it too clearly shows them that Jesus is indeed the Christ. He is the only one that this prophecy could possibly refer to. And for the, you know, they've been saying in the synagogues for all the last 1,000 years or so, well, that is talking about the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel who was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Oh, nonsense. Let's be honest here. Isaiah says very clearly, all of our sins, the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who is the us all of whom Isaiah is speaking? It's the nation of Israel. It's the Jews. It's Judah. That's the only sense that can be made out of this. Look at what the eunuch says to Philip. Who is the prophet talking about in verse 34? Of himself or some other man? Well, there's your question. If you're Jewish and you're listening to this word, you might want to ask that. It's an honest question. Who is the prophet Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself here? Is he talking about some other man? Who was led as a sheep to the slaughter? Whose sins were laid? Who is the man who bore the sins? Who bore our sins? Who is the one who, and the only one fitted to bear the sins of the world? Hold your place there in Acts 8, and let's just go back and read the 58th chapter of Isaiah, because that's what this Ethiopian eunuch was reading. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He, some individual, whom Isaiah calls he, the we of this is Israel. It couldn't be anyone else but Israel. From whom has Israel been hiding their faces? Whom has Israel been despising, lo, these many years? The Lord Jesus. That's right. He is. Surely in verse 4, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought us a lamb to the slaughter. He made his grave with the rich. We read a little later on in Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to make his soul an offering for sin. Back to Acts 8. Who is this man talking about, this prophet, says the eunuch? Of himself or someone else? All right, Philip the evangelist. You were the one sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You were the one who left the comfort of Jerusalem and the high place up there to go down, down, down to Samaria, and now down, down, down again. You are the one with the gospel in hand. You are the one burdened for the souls of the lost. This man has asked you a question. What's your answer? Verse 35 of chapter 8 of Acts. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There's your answer, Ethiopian eunuch. Could we make it any clearer? You need it made any clearer? The 53rd chapter of Isaiah was a prophecy written about 800 years earlier. About 800 years back, written by a man named Isaiah in about 750 B.C., but almost 800 years early, written of one whose name is Jesus. Jesus, whose name means Jehovah, Savior, of whom it was said, he shall save his people from their sins. People, we are all, in and of ourselves, lost and in our sins. We have got to have a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. There is one who has come forth from God for the express purpose of saving us. And Philip is preaching to this man, Jesus. Well, look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What would keep me from being baptized? Now, I love this. I love it because it is very obvious that Philip also was teaching baptism along with this. And it's also very obvious, and you can't make this mean anything else, even if you wish to ignore and reject the Greek and the meaning of the Greek, baptisma, which means to dip something into something else, you cannot get around the fact that this is baptism by immersion. That's the only thing that makes any sense here. This Ethiopian is asking if he can be immersed. What would keep me from doing that? Why do I know that? Look, let's act like we've got good sense here. These guys were traveling in the desert and across the desert. Do you think they weren't carrying water with them? Certainly they were carrying water with them. Was there not sufficient water in this chariot and in this group here to sprinkle or pour this man, if that's what baptism meant? For those of you who are sitting there saying, oh, it doesn't matter, let's not quibble over the method. Yeah, let's quibble over the method. Let's quibble over it. It makes a difference because this is God's word and this is what God says. Let's do it the way God said to do it. Now, for those of you who have been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, you know very well I do not believe that baptism in water saves you. I don't believe it at all, but I certainly believe that it's important and it's a sign of salvation, and it is one that we ought to be doing in response to the Lord's commands, and it's just that simple. And there is no such thing in the New Testament as an unbaptized believer. I don't know of any. But notice where this baptism takes place. And notice who does the baptizing. You want to get out and evangelize, you better get ready to baptize them. They don't need to come into the church to be baptized. They need to be baptized out there where the world can look on, where this testimony can be seen. And you say, well, I'm not ordained. I mean, they didn't all get the hints. Don't tell me that kind of stuff. That makes me tired. No one said you had to be ordained to baptize anyone. If you know any place in the scripture where it talks about that, you show it to me. No such thing. Philip baptized this man, but look at what he says first. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And look at what this Ethiopian eunuch said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that this man is Messiah, that he is the Son of God who came forth from the Father. I believe it. Now, Philip, he doesn't say this, but it's pretty obvious from his actions here. Philip says, that's good enough for me. Stop this chariot. Now, those of you who are listening to me out there, this man believed, and he believed what Philip had taught him and preached him, and he said, I want to be baptized. This is wonderful. It's heartwarming. And Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip baptized him right there. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I don't know what that Ethiopian eunuch did, but I know this. There was a church, a flourishing church in Ethiopia a long time before there were any churches in Ireland. And I just have to believe that this man went back and got people around him, including perhaps the queen, and said, look, I've got good news for you. I want to show you something, and I want to tell you what's happening. And this man, I am absolutely convinced, he now becomes the evangelist. He begins taking the word out. Am I talking to any evangelists out there? I beg you. I implore you. Look at this. The last verse of chapter 8, Philip was found at Azotus. And this is the Hebrew version of Ashdod, which is down in this area by Gaza. It's one of the Philistine cities. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And, of course, we see him. That's where we find him in chapter 21 of Acts. And here is this evangelist. Now, I tell you what, this to this guy talking to you is an exciting chapter. If you are not stirred by this, you ought to be. And if you are a believer, get out of your comfortable pew and evangelize. And if you are not saved, you'd better get saved right now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.